There are so many reasons to love Subaru of Gwinnett. And this April, Subaru of Gwinnett is working hand-in-hand with the community because Subaru loves the earth. From being the largest corporate donor to the National Parks Foundation to planting over a million trees, we wrap our arms around the community. It's part of the Subaru Love Promise, our commitment to improving lives in the communities where we live and work. And it's just one reason why Subaru is more than a car company. Visit Subaru of Gwinnett on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth to learn more about how we're taking action.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
End times for the ACC. And very few are concerned in the least. My goodness, Chuck Oliver Show on a Wednesday. And when I say end times, when I say winter, December of the ACC, when I say that few are concerned in the least, we're talking about a conference that's been in business for, gosh, is it 70 years? And we are watching, like, right now, a big rock just hit the ACC windshield. And for a minute, we thought, nah, we good. And then all of a sudden, that one little spider web started shooting off towards the passenger side. And you know what's got, that's like, we're there right now. There's one little, and we're like, well, maybe. No, not maybe. You know what happens. End times for the ACC. And I'll give you all those details. But the second part, when I say very few are concerned in the least, folks, I've got something about the college football playoff contract that I'm way more jazzed to talk about. And since ESPN's DNA is all over this thing, they cover both stories. But when I talk about it's the final days, it is the final chapter, the last few pages for the ACC. Can you imagine hosting a show on the ACC network right now? Because I've been told before, and I've mentioned this, some of these stories before, whether it's just a really horribly inept run Atlanta Thrashers team that somehow never won a single playoff game in 10 years, where in the NHL they kind of let you go to the playoffs, you know? And they had a GM named Don Waddell. Like, he was the GM the entire time. And so every offseason, he would go fruit basket turnover all over this thing. And you would imagine that at some point you would catch on and go, well, we're doing this wrong, you know? And so they just kept him in place. And he would fire the coach he just hired. He'd trade the draft pick that he just drafted. He'd, you know, cut the free agent. So I go on the radio, and I'm working on the flagship, and I say some of this stuff, and they're like, keep it positive. Comcast back in the day. Chuck, you said some really not positive things about Southern Miss. I was like, they just became – this was 2011 maybe? Whatever year was Ellis's 1 year at Southern Miss. And by the way, I've said this. I've never encountered – a head coach who, in my opinion, hated a team more than Ellis hated that Southern Miss squad. But that 1 year, they're wrapping up. They're 0-11, and they're at Memphis at the end of the season. And so I'm at the walkthrough, and I'm like, oh, gosh, this is going to be ugly. So, of course, in the course of making it 0-12 the next day, I'm, you know, talking about some of this. And keep it positive. And so you do what you do, all right? I don't know. I like the 15th and 30th. You know, there's something in the envelope, so I kept it positive. What do you do on air right now if you're at the ACC network? Like, do they actually have flames at the league office in the background, or do they still put on a pretty face? How do you talk about this in any terms other than right now the biggest headline in college sports is your house is a mess? Getting out, folks, is just the battle we're all paying attention to as well. What deal will Florida State and Clemson get, and from where? that's something that they have to figure out. So this is even another level. And I've heard some starting conversation about that. People are now paying attention to it because it seems it'll be more real now. Before, we were just looking at Florida State and Clemson going, you can't get out. Now that we think there's some sort of wrangling and maneuvering going on, it's probably how much sooner and for how much less than, I don't know, $500 million. Now that it's that, some folks are, well, now, wait a minute. You got to have somewhere to go to. I want out of this marriage. All right, well, who are you running to? Florida State and Clemson got to have someplace to go. And the real story is, it turns out now, I agree with something Heath said yesterday. Folks in Chapel Hill, credit them. They're supposed to be smarty pants school anyway. They've been sitting around for about the past year and a half going, yeah, we know what's what. We're the school that people really want because we're in a state that neither the Big Ten nor the SEC has, and we're a smarty pants school that also plays college football. You thought I was going to say hoops? No, that's a bonus. All right. That's her pretty sister. That's what that is. It's North Carolina's a pretty good football brand, and it's in that, all of this stuff. So what's happened is, universities, like North Carolina, sat back. They judged this thing, my opinion, they judged this thing correctly. It wouldn't surprise me if somebody in Chapel Hill called his or her equal down in Tallahassee, like that afternoon when the seeds came out and Florida State was left out, and was like, hey, man, you going to take that? Really? Wow. You know, we got a UNC grad that's an attorney in Tallahassee. It would not surprise me at all if there were like an army of those Russian Twitter bots that were out there trying to stoke the FSU hates ACC fire on Twitter. I think North Carolina has been just sitting back going, no, we don't have to get involved. And so what's happened is, while that's the Tar Heels, and then Florida State and Clemson are right behind them, what is happening right now as we speak is universities/athletic departments at places like NC State, they're not in either of the first two categories, which they are realizing now. Who the Big Ten or SEC actually would want, that category, that's North Carolina. Who we all think the jewels are, Florida State and Clemson. Everybody else, you're in line for something else. And Virginia's like, what about us? And you're like, we see you. Virginia's in line outside the club, and the doorman says, no, I got you. I got you. You're good. I got you. When there's room, when somebody comes, I got you. And NC State, they're not in either of those, just like the rest of the conference. And that's why the Cal-Stanford-SMU thing happened. Folks, if you're Florida State, we're leaving. We don't care what it looks like or becomes. So we're not going to turn down bringing in these oddball, just weird look programs. If you're Florida State and you're Clemson and you're North Carolina, you're leaving anyway. And so all the conversation we've heard about, and there's some, and the adult world's a messy place, folks, and we got to live in it. We don't have much of a choice. What about the heritage and the ACC? And it was a proud conference. And I was like, you're right to use past tense. How could you sully such a proud, highfalutin conference by gumming it up with two teams in California and one in Texas? What are you doing? You're making us look like clowns. In Tallahassee and Clemson and Chapel Hill, they looked back at you and went, yes, we know. But we're leaving anyway, so we don't much care what happens. And if it gets me $4.5 million extra per year, bully for me on the way out the door. That's why the Cal-Stanford-SMU thing happened and NC State was the deciding vote. Like, we know that, right? We all know that? And that's not an opinion. That's a fact. NC State flipped it. They're like, all right, well, we got to act like we're in the cool kids. Like, we want to be rich. Well, let's do things rich people do. Want to be lean and in shape? Well, let's do things those people do. NC State's like, yeah, us too. All right, we'll vote for this because we're a have and we're on the way out the door anyway. Hey, where are we going? We don't know. Well, let's just follow Florida State and Clemson. Yeah, about that. They don't know either, really. And the governor of North Carolina, I don't know if we saw these comments. Folks, this is so unintentionally hilarious. You know, it wouldn't be good for North Carolina and NC State not to be in the same conference going forward. I would just like everyone to know that. The governor from Oklahoma, yeah, he's just like forwarded you his comments in an email from like 2-3 years ago. You know, the Sooners and the Cowboys, they're lockstep. And Oklahoma's going, you think so, really? Did we all see the comments? There are times you don't have to say what we've all known for decades. Hall & Oates, Daryl Hall, about a month ago, he just came out, and I mean, he went just nuclear on Oates. He said, you think he's my musical partner, my creative partner? No, he's somebody I'm on stage with. Now, we've all thought that. You didn't have to say it. We're looking around in the ACC right now, and folks are saying it now. They're saying all of these things that you have always known, but now we're putting it into writing, all right? We're putting it into lawsuits. And North Carolina, you want to talk about even more of the catbird seat? The ACC, in their bill of rights, their grant of rights, everybody does this to some extent. I think, you get tickets from Ticketmaster, or you go to the 15-minute oil change place. They will say, and we're based in Montana, and so if you have an issue with our oil change, you have to sue us in Montana, and you have to click here, or we're not going to work on your car. And we scroll down, and we click, I agree. The ACC says, you have to sue us in the state of North Carolina. UNC is like, cool. Because no judge, nobody on jury, nobody anywhere, no mediator, nobody graduated from Atlantic Coast Conference. They graduated from UNC. Nobody's dad played at ACC. They played for the Tar Heels. So the unintentional comedy here, suddenly NC State's looking around thinking, hey, we're hooked to North Carolina, right? And they're looking over Oklahoma. What do you think just happened out with Oklahoma and Oklahoma State? And then when it became official, they looked at Oklahoma State and said, you really thought you were our partners? You really thought that we would put one fingertip of effort out to include you? You really thought that, Oates? NC State's about to realize, what was that? The Magnificent Seven in Virginia Tech. And now it's like the one and then the two who hope they're included as well. NC State, like, that's another spoke off this hub. And ESPN and Fox, you're a party to this. Your DNA is all over the current mess. Out of all of this that's going on with the ACC right now, and there's an even tastier topic to me about what's going down with the college football playoff contract. We're going to take a break, come back, continue next.
To the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Full day on the Duncan Newsmaker line. Chuck Oliver Show. Some of what I was talking about to kick off the show today, the Clemson lawsuit, which is an add-on to the Florida State lawsuit, which means that North Carolina doesn't actually have to file a lawsuit, which the ACC I don't think really wants anyway, because they're all in North Carolina. But we'll talk with Phil Kornblut. SportsTalkSC.com. He is host there, and y'all know his name. And so that's up on the Duncan Newsmaker line coming up in about 10 minutes. As I said, though, a lot of layers to this. And here is the truth. Football-related television money. There you go. That's it. Football-related television money is what has driven all of this. And Heath, if you want to participate, you can do this. Everyone at home or in your car, wherever you are, please do participate. I'm going to give you a few seconds to think about this. Give me a list of the really valuable college athletic departments outside the Big Ten and SEC. Pretty short list. And Kansas, Duke, they ain't on it. So, all right, I'm going to go to Heath in just a second. Let's go back and think about the question again. With networks, conferences themselves, showing instance after instance that college basketball is financially insignificant in this landscape. Let's list the really valuable college athletic departments outside the AFC and outside the Big Ten and the SEC. I have Notre Dame, North Carolina, Florida State, and Clemson, and I might be out. Heath, who do you have outside those two that are really valuable athletic departments?
I think you can make a pretty good case for Kansas, especially now that they appear to be legitimately taking their football from a bleeding sore to at least competent. I think Kansas, with their academics, the media market that they're tied to there with Kansas City, I think they have some legit value. I would say maybe UCF. I don't know if UCF is there right this minute, but the number of alums that they're churning out and good-sized media market, big state, I think it has some value. It doesn't have equal value, but it has some value. Some people would argue Miami. Yeah. I would not argue Miami. I don't think Miami has much value at all.
The point is made that after, like, one, which Kansas, and here's my – when I always think about Kansas, they never come up on the list of the good conferences expanding. They're never even a conversation. And when we thought that the Pac-12 was actually going to gobble up the best of the Big 12, folks, that was that whole Longhorn Networks and what's Texas going to do and et cetera. Kansas was, best guess, about 30 minutes away from not being in a conference. Like, not having a conference to be in. Like, standing on, we'll work for, like, having a sandwich board on. Hi, we need a conference. What they're doing now, and they're winning in football and the market and all that, so you can put some things on the list, and if you're looking to expand, which I think the Big Ten and the SEC will, and maybe cap at 20, I don't know, then there are scenarios about that. But outside of Notre Dame, North Carolina, the two others in the ACC, he said Kansas, UCF makes a lot of sense on those. I mean, what do we name? We just stretched and got to about seven. Fox recognized the value of two who were on that list, Oregon and UW. And see, that's how that guy deal got done. It wasn't, all right, everybody in the Big Ten, let's shave 3.1% off our TV money and give it to the two new schools. No, the Big Ten said, we're not taking a dollar less. If you want them, you figured out the money then. This was Fox saying, all right, we're going to work out the shrewdest deal possible for way less than a full share. And if it's these two, just Oregon and UW, we will pick up the tab. Like, Fox threw in like $60 million per season extra for like the initiation era for Oregon and the Huskies. Otherwise, Big Ten schools said, ain't happening, Captain. So remember, this is all driven by football-related television money. Streaming is good. Hoops is good. All of this other stuff, it can. I mean that, and you add it all up, and then you got a big, giant pyramid of money. Football-related TV money is what's behind this. Heath, how's it Wednesday?
Yeah, the one other thing I'd say, Chuck, too, about that is, are we talking about a Super League where all the previous distinctions kind of don't matter anymore, or are we talking about value to specific conferences? Because if the Big Ten, for example, is still a thing, then Georgia Tech might have value to the Big Ten. Georgia Tech has zero value to the SEC for, you know, a zillion reasons, because they've already got the area more than covered with schools. But for the Big Ten, there's always been talk that, yeah, with the academics and chance to plant a flag in Atlanta, even though Georgia Tech does not draw nearly as well as even an average SEC school when it comes to a fan base and everything else, that they still might like the idea of saying, hey, we're going to make Atlanta a Big Ten market now. We're going to have Big Ten alums living in Atlanta have the opportunity to go and see their schools play over there at Bobby Dodd, that kind of thing. So that's the other part of this conversation. Some schools would have market value only in the context of what we know right now. Like, I don't think the SEC wants NC State, but if NC State is the only way into North Carolina and the Big Ten grabbed UNC, maybe the SEC does want NC State. So that's the other part of this conversation is, are we talking about a completely clean slate and basically build the college NFL, or do we still care about existing models?
Oh, they care about the money. They care about bottom line revenue. I didn't get around to this. There's so many, again, spokes off this hub. Speaking of hubs, there's one kind of intriguing idea. Heath, have you seen this? The ACC, their idea for non-revenue sports is to make SMU and Dallas-based hub for, all right, everybody go there for golf. Everybody go there for tennis. Everybody go there for swimming, whatever, that we're going to have a hub in Dallas where instead of flying all the way across country, like we'll have like a high school wrestling meet with like eight teams. We'll have that for tennis and swimming or whatever, or gymnastics instead of just head-to-heads or whatever, that we'll combine as much as possible in an athletics hub in Dallas. I'm like, okay, now you're mitigating, but you are making that more workable for everybody, especially Cal and Stanford.
Yeah, that's, again, when you have this ridiculous setup for a conference, you kind of have to find ways to try and accommodate and make things work. And so that is one of the things that they reportedly are at least looking at doing. And so we'll see what that looks like. But again, it just goes back to, this is not a long-term viable plan.
No.
It just doesn't make any sense. And everybody involved, I expect even the schools that got in know, this is not a long-term viable plan. And by the way, we just mentioned another one of the schools right there, the group of three that's coming in. Stanford is another one, Chuck. You know, right now, Stanford is perceived as not having value because of its geographical location to either the SEC or the Big Ten. On the other hand, once you start over again, do they say, well, we still need the fig leaf of good academic schools, and it is a market in the Bay Area that we would want to have, and if we're not going to be as based geographically in all these other sports, you know, there's a chance that a Stanford football, especially if they actually show some signs of life again, is there a chance that they could get considered valuable enough to be in like a 32 or a 40-team league? You know, there's some that at least I'd say the verdict is not completely in on yet.
And Oregon State's president's like, we hired three more doctors in the economics department. Does anybody care? Like, they're trying to do whatever, aren't they?
Yeah, everybody's doing what they can to try and make a move, and we'll see whether or not down the line. Again, the biggest thing is, too, Chuck, if it's ESPN and Fox, again, are they competing? Or will there be some point where they basically say, all right, you are going to have the AFC and we're going to have the NFC and we're going to all get on the same page? Because that's the other part. As long as they're tugging at each other's, you know, hey, if we can grab this one away from them.
It's been a fist fight, yes. And instead, back in the day, I mean, we're of about the same age. NFC games, CBS, AFC games, NBC, and then ABC's like, yeah, we'll take the Monday night game, and everybody was happy. You've got two big network heavyweights as well that, again, it has been – hand to hand, and the resulting increase in the rights fees. This is the television football money.
Catch the King of College Football no matter where you.
There are so many reasons to love Subaru of Gwinnett. And this April, Subaru of Gwinnett is working hand-in-hand with the community because Subaru loves the earth. From being the largest corporate donor to the National Parks Foundation to planting over 1 million trees, we wrap our arms around the community. It's part of the Subaru Love Promise, our commitment to improving lives in the communities where we live and work. And it's just one reason why Subaru is more than a car company. Visit Subaru of Gwinnett on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth to learn more about how we're taking action.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Go with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
So Clemson's arguing in the front yard now. And somebody asked me, it's like, Do they not care about the tradition and history of the ACC at all? I was like, I don't know that we're in an era of sentimentality in college football right now. When I was like sixth grade, a guy named Charlie Pell was head coach at Clemson. Good man. Break a rule just as soon as he would breathe in air. And he got him in Dutch with the NCAA. And whatever the penalties were, you know what hurt really and what really stung and lingered in Clemson? Is that they were a founding member of the conference, and North Carolina, another founding member, Word is, like I said, I was 13. North Carolina added another year. You know what? Take this too, Clemson, and stay in your place this time. It might have hurt in 1980. We founded the conference together. I don't think it matters to anybody right now. I think it's about dollars, and when you're making a third of what South Carolina is in media revenue, you're not so sentimental about what happened in 1953. It's my opinion. I want to welcome on right now. He's the man, SportsTalksSC.com host, Phil Kornblut. Phil, welcome to the program. How you doing, pal?
Hey, Chuck. Good morning. How are you?
I'm pretty good. Tell me about the hornet's nest in Clemson right now, because it kind of looks like the one in Tallahassee. And my takeaway is the folks in Chapel Hill may be happier than anybody because they don't even have to file now. Tell me what's going on there.
Well, yeah, you're right. I think that, you know, Clemson kind of sat back and saw what Florida State did in December and already had plans in mind of doing something similar because they're not happy with the arrangement they're getting right now from the media deals. Like you mentioned, they see what the SEC and the Big Ten are getting out of these new media deals. They're seeing how the ACC is, in their opinion, being shorted. So, but the key is, as I look at it, what's the end game here for Clemson? You can stir up a bunch of noise and file your lawsuit and all that, but do you have a place to go? Do you have a league that will take you? Do they have some knowledge behind the scenes that the SEC will be willing or the Big Ten will be willing? That we don't know. You have to have an end game if you're Clemson, because what if you get what you want, which is, release from the ACC? Where are you going to go? So I think that is something to keep an eye on in the future related to this case, and the same thing for Florida State as well. But at Clemson, they feel like they should earn every bit as much money as Alabama, Ohio State, any of those schools. They feel like their program, their football program, is every bit what they are, and they should be making the same coin.
Sports Talk covering the entire state of South Carolina is Phil Kornblut is what he does. All right, so let's talk about, and you're right, you know, if you solve this riddle, then you got to, all right, find a landing spot. Give me your opinion about how this first stage plays out with Florida State and Clemson and who else is offered the deal. How much sooner than 2036 and how much less than like $480 million will it be?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm not that informed to know what is on the table between the two sides. You know, if they're going to negotiate something and have some sort of a happy medium here, it seems like both sides, all three sides, have, buried their shovels in the sand here and are going to hold to what they believe. When the ACC came out with a pretty blunt statement yesterday, which is kind of hard to argue from where I sit, and that is the ACC team knew what they were signing when they granted the rights to the league office. They knew what was in the documents. They knew what was being negotiated, I think. Now, maybe, I think part of their claim is that they weren't made clear what the ACC was doing with ESPN, and it wasn't what they thought it was going to be. That can come out in court. They can prove that. That's going to be a bonus on their side. But the ACC will argue each and every one of those members, if you put them on the stand, Mr. President of Clemson, President Clemens, and so on down the line with each of the presidents or whoever signed off, did you know what you were signing? Were you agreeing to what they were offering? They all signed it. And they all, if you go back and look at the media reports, when the grant of rights was first reported, they were all ecstatic about it. Oh, this is going to hold this conference together. We're going to be stronger as a result of this, blah, blah, blah. So, this is a 180 from all of that. And I don't know how you're going to disprove what's already on the record from several years ago.
9 states, 60 sticks. We talk college football, do it 2 hours a day. Been doing it for a decade now, so I appreciate that blessing. Wrapping up, Phil Kornblut. Is sentimentality and we're a founding member? Like Florida State, at least they could say, yeah, we just kind of stepped in. Is this sentimentality anything more than just a speed bump in 2024 for Clemson? Because I look at it from a very practical way, but it's also not my school.
Yeah. Well, remind you, maybe you don't know, that this is not Clemson's first dance with the ACC when it comes to a threat of leaving. When South Carolina left in 1971 after winning the ACC basketball championship for the only time, they and Maryland and Clemson were all going to leave over the 800 rule. And when they all lined up and South Carolina took a step forward, when they looked to their right, nobody else took a step with them. Clemson and Maryland kind of backdoored them. And so South Carolina was on an island by itself and, of course, spent the next 20-some-odd years floundering through independence. So Clemson has done this before. They've kind of played this game with the ACC before. This time it looks for real, though. It looks like they're very serious with their intent on forcing the ACC's hand to do something, whether it is give them even more of a cut of the pie or renegotiate or let them out of their membership so they'll be free to go and try and land somewhere else. Just going to have to wait to see how it all plays out in court and how it all plays out in the public.
Phil, I appreciate the clarity, pal. It's it's so much going on in the ACC right now, and it really could be the final days of the conference as we really know it. And that's kind of hard to even say for a kid who grew up in this part of the country. But I appreciate the clarity, man. Thank you.
Hey, as always, good talking to you. Thanks very much.
All right, Phil Kornblut again. Sports Talk, South Carolina, throughout the entire state there. So do we know what the 800 rule is? It's SAT thing. The Atlantic Coast Conference, and again, had always positioned themselves, I say always. Heath can jump in because he was living in the heart of all this and actually in North Carolina for a while as well. But the ACC, I was about to say, for always until real recently, the ACC positioned themselves as a smarty pants conference. And my understanding is that's how West Virginia wound up going to the Big 12. Now, make your own decisions about that. But when they're like, no, we're not taking West Virginia play. And then they're like, as the words are coming out their mouth, they're like, dang, everybody's Louisville. How about you? And so they bring in like 13th grade in Louisville right after saying West Virginia's academics were an issue. You bring in Louisville, which compared to Duke, it doesn't. So they have switched from that. We're haughty and whatever else. The 800 rule was, if you were on scholarship, play sports in the ACC, you had to have at least an 800 on your SAT. Now, for folks who grew up in mainstream America, you may think, oh, is that really a thing? Yeah, it is really a thing if you didn't grow up in mainstream America. Heath, am I kind of on base with most of this?
Yeah, certainly the West Virginia, just their academics being perceived as the biggest obstacle to them being an ACC possibility, there's no question that was a huge factor for them.
Yeah, and I'm going to tell you, folks, go to more as far as the football, because that's all I care about. I don't think that if I graduated from Georgia Tech or, like, Miami, like, people forget, Miami's private, and it's, like, a really, really good school. I don't think that West Virginia being in the conference, you're in that conference. You graduated, you have two engineering degrees from Georgia Tech, but you're in that conference, that football conference of West Virginia. No, we're going to hire somebody else. I've never really understood that, but and they got over it quickly. But yeah, you had to have 800 on the SAT, and that's was part. South Carolina was like, yeah, we want to have different standards, and so they left in 71 or 72, whatever it was, and off they go into the wilderness as an independent. Now they kind of stumbled into it. But you know what happened really beginning in the mid-80s? Because there was no money in it. When I say it became the place to be, it's only the place to be if you got fat stacks. That makes it the place to be. And nobody was making money until really in the mid-80s. Like, Bear Bryant was never making money as a head coach. Like, Larry Munson, legendary voice. Wes Durham has told me this, so this is not – he said his dad, Woody Durham. I mean, you can't be more legendary over decades for a national championship program. He was like, till the very end, my dad never made money. Nobody made money. Then mid-80s, you started making money. It was the time to be an independent. You could try anybody, anywhere, brother. And you always had the Clemson thing hanging out at the end of the year. I'm telling you, being an independent, that was good eating. In the 80s and then into the 90s, and in part because of South Carolina, they realized they turned everything back the other way. Them in Arkansas. There was a little bit, it took a few years, a little bit of a lag. Then all of a sudden, snap your fingers, about 4 or 5 years after the SEC realized what's what. Everybody else said divisions and a championship game. The ACC was after that, and then the Big Ten was like, okay, us too. Big 12 decided to be above all that. Big 12, how they wound up in the position they're in right now, they really did nothing to earn this. Like, they were about to be consumed by the Pac-12. Their commissioner sat elbow to elbow with Greg Sankey working on expanded playoffs while the whole time Sankey's texting Texas and OU about leaving the conference. The Big 12, they looked at the conference champ. Go look at, like, Wikipedia your computer, Big 12 football championship game. What happened was, like, they go dark for a few years? Yeah. They were like, yeah, we're not going to play a championship game anymore. We don't. Oh, yeah, actually, we do need it. Bring that back. Weird conference, and now they're going to wind up being, I'm going to say, the third best conference. There's a chance they wind up, it's just the third conference. So, and they have not done, I'll give your mock credit. He didn't get twos and sevens, but he didn't get a great hand, and he's turned it into something that looks like it's a fun, kind of wide open, rollicking conference, and they have money coming in, and so they'll survive. No doubt. They looked at SMU, and then the ACC said, we'll take you. All right, we're going to break, wrap up hour one next.
Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Our spring break is the last week in March, so it gives us an opportunity to get all of it done before March. Don't put them in that risk as far as injury. But then it allows us to figure out, okay, this is what we have, this is where we're at, and this is 5 months of uninterrupted training to get better. And we utilize April with spring access through the NCAA for walkthroughs.
Eli Drinkwitz talking about their spring calendar. Theirs being the Missouri Tigers football program in Columbia, Missouri, and the academic calendar and spring break and how. Then he says, let's get after it early. There have been years where we had signing day that first Wednesday in February and teams were starting. I remember 1 year Duke and Army both started that next Friday, like 48 hours later. They got it done before spring break. And I remember at Duke, part of it was like, yeah, if we go after spring break, we run into the Final Four. We don't want that with college football. With our spring game, we don't want that running into Final Four. So as Eli, the worldwide leader is going to be after your attention for another 60 minutes each week, at least. There's an announcement coming that the playoff committee will begin releasing weekly rankings the night after Labor Day, week one. There will be an amount of valid justification for doing this every week of the regular season, mostly because who can actually make the playoffs is way more open. And also what you do the first few weeks of the season can actually decide if you're good enough to be top 12. Whereas before, that was almost impossible. Look at last year for Duke. In a four-team era, Duke starts the season 4-0, beat the number 9 team in America, get a non-conference win against a Big Ten program. And at the end of September, that didn't mean anything. As far as making a four-team playoff field, you're like, nah, give them a couple weeks. Almost everyone is going to. And so that Duke. We check back, I don't know, when the playoffs were about to be announced, and they were never going to be in that process. And that is the verbiage. Who's in our process? Whether it's a bowl game, whether it's the playoffs, it's like, all right, let's start with all the teams in our process. Well, in a four-team era, there was such a minuscule number of available bids, you kind of let it take care of itself. And so, in every season that we've had playoffs and playoff committee rankings releases on Tuesday nights, in every one of those seasons, the first few weeks of the year, unless your September was 4-0 against the Jags, Ravens, Steelers, and Eagles, we really didn't know if you were anything close to a top four team out of 130 plus. It was too early. There were so few spots available anyway, and that meant almost all programs were going to mostly eliminate themselves over the course of the next month. So we'll debut our rankings the last Tuesday of October. And it all made sense. Now, folks, believe me, everything I just said is true. All of it. Every last word, if you're going to justify it, every word is true. And if we really did need to have a 13-week running tally of who's in their process, then the justification holds. But all of the accurate things I just said, it's just verbiage. It's not the reason. The real reason we're getting 13 shows instead of five, which, why don't we think of it like that? The real reason we're going to get an announcement, 13 shows instead of five, is because yesterday ESPN agreed to pay $1.3 billion per season to the playoffs to televise each round and then the championship game. And then in italics, here's the important part, the little detail, all related televised content, including the playoff committee ranking show, which if you need to start generating more revenue to cover that $1.3 billion payment, I know a way to get 160% more revenue from an already existing property. Coming from the network that turns the most exciting 2 minutes in sports into a broadcast that begins at about two, the race is at maybe six, ABC signs off like 58 minutes later, coming from that network, it'll be at least a 60-minute. It might be 2 hours. There are 12 teams to reveal, folks. And then beyond that, the next 25 to know how close you are, folks. The announcement, I don't know when, and nobody's told me this, and I hadn't got a text from Bristol. I'm just looking at dollar signs, and ESPN stroked the, and yes, we agree. Boom, there's the contract. $1.3 billion. When do we get our money? All right, well, we got to raise $1.3 now. How do we do that? I know. Let's take a TV show that we broadcast five times. Let's do it 13 times instead. Well, there's some of that nut. That is coming. Heath, what's going on today, man?
So, Chuck, we've certainly heard the complaints, the criticism, the idea that it's just not raw, just not right, what's going on right now. This idea that you say to a school, I'm coming, I'm committed, I'm going to be a part of what you're doing, and a matter of months later, nah, never mind, I'm going somewhere else. And in the last 24 hours, we got an example that absolutely is going to make people blow their minds, except for I think they're going to be blowing their minds at the wrong example. A lot of people are going to be going crazy about Caden Proctor. Proctor, for anybody who somehow doesn't know, Proctor, Iowa kid, had originally been committed to the Hawkeyes, changed his mind late in the process, instead chose Alabama, goes to Alabama, spends freshman year at Alabama, mixed success on the field, reportedly homesick for Iowa, leaves after Saban goes, especially bails, goes home to Iowa, go to be a Hawkeye. Even did some NIL deals, apparently, while he was there, yep. Commercials, everything else. Yesterday, the word comes down, nope, changed his mind. He's back in the portal, and all reports, he's not officially able to be in the portal yet. All reports are he will go to Alabama once he can put his name in the portal. He will return to the Crimson Tide. And Chuck, you know, I'm sure you've seen it. People are losing their minds over this, especially the Iowa fans saying this guy screwed us not once but twice. We gave this guy money, and now we can't even get it back. This is ridiculous. Okay, that's fine. Except for, there's another guy that's not going to get anywhere near that same level of scrutiny, Chuck, and his name is Troy Dannon. Troy Dannon has been the athletics director of Washington for just under 6 months.
Yeah, he's been busy too, but he's been there since October.
Yeah. He's now the new AD at Nebraska with a six-year contract as of this morning. A six-year contract after less than 6 months on the job at Washington. Again, you're talking about a Big Ten job, and he's leaving that Big Ten job for another Big Ten job for more money and a six-year deal in the span of a half a year. So it's like that old commercial, Chuck. You remember the one with the mustache dad confronting his child in the 80s because he'd found some pot. And, where'd you get this? How did you ever think this was a good idea? I learned it from watching you, Dad. That's basically what's going on here. You know, you can't be mad at the kids for taking whatever interests them financially or whatever else it might be. Might be that we've broken up with a girlfriend or we've made up with a girlfriend. Don't know. Maybe Caden Proctor just said, oh, wait, there's a reason I wanted to leave home in the first place. I was homesick. Now I've been home. I remember why I got the desire to leave. I don't know. But you can't get all haughty about it when you got ADs doing stuff like that.
No, it's the environment where, and it got my attention. And I looked at it, I was like, well, he's kind of just in the mix. His details are different because he's not leaving Iowa to go to Washington State. He's going back where he came from, and that gets our attention.
There are so many reasons to love Subaru of Gwinnett. And this April, Subaru of Gwinnett is working hand-in-hand with the community because Subaru loves the earth. From being the largest corporate donor to the National Parks Foundation to planting over a million trees, we wrap our arms around the community. It's part of the Subaru Love Promise, our commitment to improving lives in the communities where we live and work. And it's just one reason why Subaru is more than a car company. Visit Subaru of Gwinnett on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth to learn more about how we're taking action.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey Atlanta, Hudson Mason here. Is a new roof still on your to-do list, but you've been delayed due to rising home service costs? Well, here's a fantastic solution from Accent Roofing Service. Zero down, zero payments, and zero interest for a full year. That's right, you can get your new roof now and start paying next year. Act quickly because Accent's incredible offer of 000 with a 12-month deferred payment option for a lifetime roof system isn't going to last long. Contact the craftsman at Accent Roofing Service today, accentroofingservice.com.